Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are here today. And we have quite a unique show. We're here with Dr. Z. Dr. Eugene, are you here?
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. Welcome. So today we have a special show in that we're going to incorporate cultural activities, ancient activities, current science, and what we're going to be living through in the next couple of months. And what is that? Digestion. We're going to be looking at digestion, and we're going to be looking at it from all different sides, with over 60 to 70 million people in this country complaining of digestive problems. And now we're going into a digestive bonanza, Thanksgiving and the parties and Christmas. We want to discuss, how do we make it through this time, and what do we do that assists us so we can make it through this time healthier rather than worn down, exhausted, and just feeling overall bloated. So Dr. Z is a professor, has been a professor of naturopathy for over 25 years. So we're going to look at this question from many different areas. So guess what? Today we're going to be speaking about exploring bitters. Now, why would we do that? Bitters have a history in all cultures. In England, you could go into a pub and ask for a bitter, a pint of bitters, and these are bitters made of hops. You can go to France and order bitters. You can go to Italy and order bitters. Every country has their own unique form of bitters based on the herbs and the traditions within their society. So, Dr. Z, why is that important, and how does it help us? That's a big question, isn't it? I'm throwing it right out there at you.
Well, it all boils down to our gut, which is the interplay between so many different systems in our body, our nervous, the gut, of course, and all the assimilation, and now the microbiome can send out signals for as anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer and help the mind. So there's interplay between the GI and the nervous system, the cardiovascular system, and the immune system, and probably other endocrine system and all the other systems. So it's all a holistic model. So taking care of your gut, you know, how about the sayings that have evolved in society? I have a gut feeling, or many things like that. Or Rabbi Maimonides, one of the famous Jewish scholars, said, eat only until you're three quarters full. And he goes, more people die at the cooking pot than of most diseases, or from the result of the cooking pot. So throughout history, we see, you know, chew your food was a call to action by the old naturopathic doctors like this guy Fletcher, who cured people of many, many digestive ailments by just having them sit in a quiet fashion and chew their food. It's just amazing. So it's like we have so many GI diseases. They are the number one cause of people getting over-the-counter drugs, second to pain. Well, pain and GI things are kind of neck and neck, but from my research, GI conditions, things that you mentioned before, bloating, gas, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, loose bowels, feeling, GERD, heartburn, as the old term was, and all of these things are preventable, certainly. And if we know what we've done in the past, like I mentioned, I know you mentioned there's a lot of history behind bitters and things like that. Many people use bitters as daily or seasonal cleansers because the bitter taste is often, associated with anti-parasites, anti-parasitic herbs, anti-protozoal herbs, things like that. So the bitter herb, the bitters have a lot to do with it. But we also have other categories like carminatives that we could touch base on, which help with digestion and absorption, the stomach aches and the cholagogues and choleretics and hepatics. So I threw a lot at you. These are
That'll keep us going.
yeah,
That'll
but
keep us
these are the
going.
ones. There's other ones too, like laxatives too, in what they call the aperients, which are the mild laxatives, and then you can, sort of divide laxatives into drastics or cathartics or physics. There was all kinds of really interesting ways to refer to these things.
What we've seen over time is that we have literally bred the bitter taste out of our foods. So it used to be that broccoli was bitter and cucumbers were bitter. Now they're sweet. We have lost that sense of bitter taste. And right now in our society, particularly American, what we crave is sweet and salty and even fatty. But bitter is a little bit repulsive to us, yet we have bitter receptors throughout our body, all the way down our intestinal tract, in our hearts, in our brains, in our muscles. And we never think of that. In the back of our tongue, there are bitter receptors. Very often, those bitter receptors, if you open your mouth and look at your tongue and look in the back, they're all coated white and they're being blocked from two things, lack of use and the way we're eating. But these bitter receptors are important to stimulate our digestion. We've also found that when people take bitters, they're more sugar sensitive, so they lower their desire for sugars and lower their need for sugars and also increase their sense of satisfaction from the same foods. But how do we use bitters in a way, like we're going into Thanksgiving? Okay, there's going to be lots of foods, lots of them we're not used to eating. We, on a daily basis, we don't eat that rich. How would we use bitters and which ones would we use to begin a meal or to take before the meal to help us digest?
Yeah, well, we could use that. I mean, that certainly is the use of bitters is to increase the secretion of gastric and pancreatic enzymes, and also small intestinal enzymes, which are needed to increase digestion, improve absorption, and also help with a normal transit time, so that the food is just not staying in your stomach and digestion. I think that's the biggest problem with America. And then we think we actually have heartburn. Well, we do have heartburn, but we think that it's because of too little acid, when
Too
actually the
much
physiology is quite the opposite.
acid. We
Yeah, it's
think of
actually, well,
it as too much
what it
acid.
is it's too much of a weak acid. So as you know, the pH scale is logarithmic. So A pH 7 is neutral. You know, 1's very basic, and 14's, sorry, 14's very basic, and 1's very acidic.
Right, acidic.
But stomach acid is usually between a 1 and a 2 normally physiologically, but many people with hypochlorhydria or achlorhydria have, which is low stomach acid, have actually a pH of 3 or 4. This has been determined through Heidelberg analysis, where that you used to swallow a radio transmitter, and then it would transmit the pH of the stomach back to the lab tech or physician doing the reading. We did this many times when I was a student out at Bastyr University many moons ago. Now, of course, there's other testing where people would swallow like a pH paper after a high protein meal, and you can actually physically measure the pH of the stomach. Well, guess what? Most of them came back alkaline, and here we are chewing antacids like it's candy, and taking H2 blocking drugs and the other ones, proton pump inhibitors, right? So
When we
that's the
don't have
biggest
enough
thing.
acid in the first place, when our stomach
Right.
is not, so we're
Because what
not able
happens
to
is,
break down our proteins.
right, what happens is you're, if you can't make strong acid, your body compensates. The body's always a MacGyver. It always is trying to figure out the best solution for everything. That was a saying that we had on our t-shirts once at UB. The body is a MacGyver. I thought people love that saying. But nonetheless, the body tries to figure it out. So it makes lots of weak acid instead of a tiny bit of strong acid. Well, the chance of you burping up a full stomach of weak acid is very high going through the pyloric sphincter and up into the esophagus. Then, you know, if you were making a tiny bit of acid at pH 1 or 2, which would do the job, and then you'd, like flushing the toilet, the next phase of digestion, the other the sphincter would open up, and boom, it would go down into the next phase of digestion. So the big problem, I think, is too little acid, or sorry, too weak acid. So the bitters are fantastic because they are plants that have many different compounds in them which make them bitter. The most bitter compounds are what they call the sesquiterpene lactones, and those are found in like things like absinthe, the old liqueur from the wormwood plant, and Amaro gentian from the gentian plant. Gentian's native to Europe and North Africa, grows in the mountains, and these substance, they're so bitter that you can detect one drop in 30,000 drops. I don't know how many
Whoa.
drops 30,000 is, but it's got to be a couple gallons of water. And so that then stimu goes to the tongue, and then you have these salivary nuclei kind of in your face, and then that's transmitted to the various cranial nerves,
Which
including the vagus, the big one, which then teaches the,
stimulates.
yeah, stimulates the production of not only hydrochloric acid, but gastrin and pepsin and cholecystokinin and all these interesting enzymes which are needed for digestion. So that's, gentian is my favorite one, and wormwood. Those are my favorite go-tos for the superstars, actually, of the bitter world.
Well, it's interesting because because what wormwood and gentian are very powerful, also antiparasitics. What you find is that these very bitter herbs are very often stimulating to our immune system. They go into the back of the tongue, and the back of the tongue signals the brain, and the brain is then signaled to start digestion, to release hydrochloric acid, to begin to allow the release of all the intestinal enzymes to allow the release of bile. So what you're doing by doing a they're called digestives or amaros. Amaro is an Italian word for bitter, amaro, and is you're preparing your body for appropriate digestion for the foods that you're going to eat. So it's really a wonderful thing, and the Italians do it by they have a special little glass. It's an aperitif glass, and you sip on it about a half an hour before the meal, and then you're ready to eat. But what we want to do is also talk about eating in this stressful, often stressful situation, or can be. And how do we eat, and what do we eat to assist the bitters to begin to work?
Yeah, well, we could, you know, I just wanted to just share a fun fact that I found when we were researching stuff for the show. The New England Journal of Medicine in 1981 did an actual trial where they had people splash Angostura bitters on a lemon wedge and suck on it.
Whoa.
And 88% of the subjects found that it cured their hiccups, and it was published by Herman et al. You can look it up online. A Bitter Cure, New England Journal of Medicine, 1981, volume 305. So that's
Angostura is one of the most bitter. Huh? Yeah, Angostura is one of the most bitter herbs, other than gentian, and it's even more bitter than gentian. Go on.
Yeah, so I you know, like to use the wormwood. It was used by people historically for what they called atonic dyspepsia. That was that condition I was talking about, where the food just stays in the stomach churning for hours and hours and hours because the glands are atonic, you know, without tonicity, meaning that they're not producing the normal physiological levels of digestive enzymes that you need. Now, you know, what's really interesting is you need the first part of digestion to work, Corinne, as you know, before the rest of it works. In other words, you have to have the acidity of the stomach in order for the intestines to work. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, stimulating the stomach, the hydrochloric acid, begins that process. But there is something kind of interesting that you and I were speaking about, and there is a way of eating that assists digestion, and it's called food combining. Now, it's very interesting because I read the book many, many years ago, and I said, oh, this is really bogus in terms of their understanding of the physiology of the body and the way the body can work. And it's just more varied and much more intuitive than they wrote in their book. They wrote a very simple, almost like an outline of digestive physiology. But what they did was they created a diet that was very easy on digestion and also quite satisfying. So it's kind of interesting, that dichotomy. And what their diet was, it was called food combining, and what their diet was protein and vegetables, and or starch and vegetables. But you never combine protein, starch, and vegetables. It always was vegetables and starch, or vegetables and protein, which made a very easy way of digesting. And that works very well with people who have difficulty digestion. And what happens is, as we get older, we appear and seem to make less hydrochloric acid and less digestive juices. In the Netherlands, they have older people, geriatric people, get together before dinner, and they have what they call the bitters hour, and they sit there sipping their aperitifs to prepare them for the meal so that their stomach and their intestines are ready to eat. And we see that in multiple cultures. So, what do you think about that diet and how to work it? I'm also going to open up the lines. The number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. Please do give us a call with any of your suggestions and or questions, and we will be glad to answer them. Dr.
Well,
Hugh.
I know you're supposed to include bitter things in your diet. You know, if you look, study ancient wisdom traditions around the world, they would eat, you know, like maybe Ayurveda or some other Tibetan medicine or whatever. They would eat, each meal would have a bitter, something sour, something sweet, something pungent, something spicy, and probably there's other tastes that I'm missing, but you get the point. It would be balanced like that because they felt that if you were, depending upon your constitution, like everyone shouldn't be eating the same thing. So that's another really important foundational concept in these ancient concepts. So first of all, people shouldn't be eating the same diet. So there's a lot of debate about that, that's for sure. But nonetheless, that's what they believed. And they would then, you know, want to make sure you had all the tastes to balance the energies of the body. And that makes a lot of sense because certain constitutions, if you tend to be a more heavy set, big bone person in Ayurvedic medicine or kapha constitution, they should abhor or really ease up on sweets and dairy and things like that that are kind of heavy. They can't digest them as well. And to first, you know, I've seen that quite a number of patients, you know, that I've examined that are of that constitution fit that bill, so to speak. Not everyone, but certainly it's interesting thinking. So yeah, I think that there's something to that. But I think that the big problem is that we don't chew our food. You know, like so
That
the food
also.
surviving is a great idea, but I think people eat. They don't treat the mealtime as a time
Sacred.
for peace and quiet and to eat. It's like a war zone in so many
Exactly.
families, right? And they eat on the
Well,
run, like eat in the
oh yeah.
car. You know, and I think that's here you are in the car with your life being threatened. I mean, when you're in the car, you're in the fight or flight response. The last thing you should be doing is eating in the fight or flight response, you know?
Walking down the street with a piece of pizza. How good is the chewing? How good is the digestion? That's why we always sit at our house and we sit and we hold hand with the meal. The meal's about to begin. We sit, we hold hands. And we say we're grateful for our food, we're grateful for our families, we're grateful for this time together, which starts slowing things down because we're always in a rush. We're doing this, we're doing that, we're getting the food on the table, blah, blah, blah. It slows us down. And now we're ready to begin to digest, to chew and digest. And I think it's a beautiful thing to do. It's a beautiful tradition, but it's also something wonderful to maybe start during this upcoming holiday season to think about that and slow down when you eat and understand what a precious time it is for all of us to be able to sit, be together with our family and friends and share food.
And then, like you said, back on our topic is use the bitters beforehand, or if you don't have any bitters home, which we'll go over some more of the herbs that are bitter that I want to talk about, but you could certainly just add some bitter things to your diet.
Meal.
So what was the example? Like romaine lettuce is considered a bitter, you know? So that could be something. Radicchio, wow.
is a bitter, quite bitter.
Yeah, dandelion
Burnup.
wheat.
Oh,
Which one?
dandelion. Dandelion, definitely. And especially when you eat it raw and as a salad, you put a little olive oil over it, a little vinegar, maybe a little bit of garlic. You make that about an hour before the meal so it's softened up and it's quite bitter. You have to chew and chew and chew on it, or you could make it with saute it with olive oil and garlic. And guess what, Dr. Z? Guess what we have? We have one caller. Hi.
Okay.
We'll go to the caller. Hi. Are you ready for
Hello.
the holiday season?
Hello. No, I'm thinking of boycotting.
Oh. No. Don't let politics make you boycott your family.
Actually, it's more my digestive system.
Oh, okay.
I have two questions. One is,
Can you speak up just a little, please?
let me make sure I have.
Yell at us.
Oh, maybe I don't. Maybe the thing isn't on.
Okay.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
It's better, thank you.
I know it's possible to have too much HCI or HCL, whatever it is.
ACL.
And my first question is, how do you know whether you're getting the right amount for your own digestive system? And my second question is, what is the best form of protein for older people?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to start, Dr. Z, and then I'll
Yeah, I
go.
mean, of course, we talked about that there are sophisticated tests to look at the pH of your stomach to make sure you're making enough hydrochloric acid. But you can look at a lot of symptoms, like, for instance, ri many ridges in your nails was an old-time discussion of hypochlorhydria.
Because it shows that you're not absorbing your minerals,
Yeah, and you need,
and
right, exactly.
hydrochloric acid solubilizes or makes the minerals available to be absorbed. Go on, Dr. Z. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, that's true, very true, yeah. And then there are other ones like, because there's a relationship between hydrochloric acid and the absorption of B12 and intrinsic factors. So if people are pretty low in their B12 levels, that's one thing I'm thinking. Maybe they're not producing enough
Enough.
hydrochloric acid. Even though they're different glands, they're all in the same complex. The parietal gland is a little different from where, is the gland where, all that happens with the intrinsic factor and the HCL and then the goblet cells and mucus. So the point I'm trying to make is that, most people. Oh, and then the classic one in Chinese medicine is you have a big crack down the middle of your tongue.
Oh,
That's
yes.
great. I practiced Chinese medicine quite for a long time and have looked at thousands of tongues over the years, and there's great books and research on this in the Chinese medical tradition and Ayurveda. But yeah, if you have cracks in your tongue, that's
It's
often, especially in the middle, that's often considered stomach deficiency, yin deficiency, because that's the fluids. So these are kind of like folkloric ways to look at it if you don't have the scientific methodology of like the Heidelberg test or the pH meter. The other thing too is the stool can be analyzed and they look for meat fibers in the stool. You should never have any meat. Well, if you're a vegan, you're not going to have any meat fibers, but in omnivorous people, you should never see meat fibers on the stool analysis. It's a sign that there's not enough hydrochloric acid. So those
breaking
are some
down the
things that I look
proteins.
at. Yeah.
Also, burping. Burping is a real strong sign of the buildup of gases in through the stomach. Rather than going down, it's coming up because there's not enough acid to move the food down. And it's sitting in the stomach too long, and you begin to burp because it's sitting there because it can't move out because it hasn't reduced its pH enough to be able to begin to move through. So, what was the second question? You had two questions. Okay. Okay, so we have another caller.
Yes,
hello?
That's me. That's me.
Hi.
I hope you can hear me okay. Greetings.
Perfectly,
to the beloved community.
Thank you.
Such an interesting program. I want to preface before my question that before the beginning of the year, let us put some important focus into getting a BAI phone number connected to a main line, which is 2900 and still available, because when you, Corrine, when you ask for calls, it's very difficult. You have to press the read dial. You don't get a ring at first. And then when you, it's very difficult to get through. So let's
oh,
get
I'm
the
so
phone
sorry.
System pulled together.
I'm glad you got through, though.
Yes. Thank you. But my question is, I remember such an interesting program. I remember some years ago, there was a Swedish Bitters product. I can't remember the details or the particulars, but in addition to the Netherlands having that awareness, if you or the doctor knows about that, you know, I remember having that, it's sort of a tall bottle of Bitters
yeah.
from Sweden. So if you could tell a little bit about the history, what that contained, and the other aspect where you seem to be, when I tuned in, you were talking about a second tier of enzymes or Bitters. And I'll listen over the air. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Dr. Z, I'm very familiar with Swedish Bitters. I think you are also.
Oh, yeah, they're an old classic from Nature Work, I believe. And although there's other brands that, you know, have been used over many millennia. And it has things like ash and angelica, herb, rhubarb. It has a special type of turmeric called Zidori, myrrh, and, you know, other things too. Cinnamon, cardamom. So it's not really the most bitter thing. There's better bitters, I think. But it's a very nice formula, that's for sure.
It has some pear juice in it too, which mediates the bitterness, some of the bitterness, although the body responds to the bitters that are in the formula. So it's a good one. And it's particularly a good one for someone who's not used to bitters because it's a mild bitter.
Yes.
I often like a little stronger, but both can be very good. And there's someone else. Hi. You're live.
Hi.
Your name, please?
I'm on.
Hello? Yes, you are.
Yes. Hi. I heard the doctor talking about the Heidelberg test.
Yes.
I had the Heidelberg, probably more
years
than 10
ago.
Years ago now. Yeah. And it said that I had low stomach acid, right? So that my thing was malnutrition. So basically, I was questioning whether or not my habit of not drinking while I was eating my meal had anything to do with it. And the description that I was given was like, if you drink at the end of your meal, it's kind of like flushing the toilet. Like you've eaten all this good food, you're paying attention, blah, blah, blah. And then you flush down with all this water that you're drinking after the meal. So the suggestion was that I drink a little as I eat. Well, that became a problem because then I'm not hungry because I get full with the water. So I was just wondering, I've been taking digestive enzymes, and I'm wondering if that is, I don't know what to do to boost my stomach acid.
Dr. Z, what would you recommend?
Well, we talked about this off air when we were developing the program, that I did my thesis, my third year thesis at Bastyr Medical, Naturopathic Medical College out in Seattle on the physiology of the production of hydrochloric acid.
Well, you asked the right question to the right person, didn't you?
Yeah, I was reading Guyton and all the physiology books. And, you know, it turns out that it's more than just the bitter taste that stimulates the whole digestive tract. You know, smelling and visualizing the food. There's a, you know, oral and nasal passage, bitter passages. So that begins the process. It's the cephalic digestion. Chewing is very important. Doing a very slow chewing meditation, very critical. But I found research that hydrochloric acid production is dependent on zinc. It's a zinc dependent enzyme.
Really?
You know, we get the chlorine from salt. We break up the salt into sodium chloride, and then we do something to carbonic acid to then get the hydrogen ions, and then hydrogen plus the chlorine makes hydrochloric acid. So there's an interesting and elaborate physiology that happens, but a lot of it has to do with zinc.
Something we supplement with?
I'm sorry.
Carbonic acid?
Could you say that again, please?
I was saying, he said the sodium from the salt, but he said also the carbonic acid. I'm like, where is that something our body manufactures?
Well, that's how your body makes it. But what's the most important thing that I said is that you need zinc to make all that happen. So perhaps people with low hydrochloric acid should be checked for their zinc by their doctors, you know?
Okay.
It's an easy test to do and ask for.
I also take a black seed living bitter.
Oh, that's – the black seed is from a curcumin, and it's in the – Ayurvedic tradition, they say about the black seed that it can cure everything except
death. Right.
Nigella, the black seed. That's the Latin.
The black seed, and it's very bitter.
Yeah. Go on. Yep. So they're all, anything that tastes bitter, it turns out, no matter what the plant, this is the most amazing thing. There's so many species of plants across the planet. But as long as our body perceives it as bitter, doesn't matter the phytochemistry, it has the same physiologic effect. So that's why it's so fascinating.
Okay, so this could be something that I'm benefiting from.
Oh, very definitely. But also that there are some absolutely wonderful formulas of hydrochloric acid with very specific, like Ott's bile, but you have to watch yourself with them, but take low dose hydrochloric acid and build it up till you find the level that suits your body. So I always have my patients get the lowest dose you can and take one. And if that feels okay, you can stay there, but the next meal, if you don't feel anything, you take two. And the next meal, if you don't feel anything, you take three. So you're literally finding your dose. You'll also find that you need more hydrochloric acid when you eat heavy proteins. When you're eating fruits and vegetables, or you're eating just a salad, you're not going to need lots of hydrochloric acid. It's the need is lower. So you're always adjusting the hydrochloric acid to your dietary intake. And Dr. Z said something else really important, and we can't overemphasize it. You got to chew, because that signals your brain to make hydrochloric acid. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday if we don't speak to you before then.
Let me ask you one other question, please. My mother is going through some dental work, and so she can't, the chewing is minimal, you know what I mean? And she's old. So the chewing is minimal. Is there, they suggested a soft mechanical diet, but she hates it. So I was wondering if there was anything like in between, or is it, would that be the way to, you know, avoid the difficulty of not being able to chew?
Well, what I would do, and maybe Dr. Z has more ideas, what I would do is I would get a little small Quasinar, the teeny little chopper, and I would keep the foods that we're eating with the spices and herbs and flavors that we, that are part of our culture and that we love, and grind it up. You put it in the grinder, the exact meal you're eating. And then, exactly. So she's not eating some kind of chemical diet that they say is good for her. She's eating the olive oil that you've put on your vegetables that is fresh and pure. She's eating good fats. She's eating protein. She's eating good salads with fresh vegetables and fresh herbs.
Oh,
in them.
Yes, that would be wonderful. If she could, that's what she misses is the seasoning. So,
exactly.
You know, with the garlic and the onion and the avocado and the you know, EVOO, she should, you know, that should boost it a lot for her. Yeah. Thank
Definitely.
You so much. I appreciate you both.
Have a happy holiday.
Please stay.
Bye-bye. We have another person holding. The number to call is 212-209-2877. We'd love to speak with you and have a little perseverance. If you don't get through the first time, call back again, because sometimes, as one of the callers mentioned, there's difficulty with the lines. Hello? Hello, you're live?
Hi.
Oh, thanks for holding. And
yes,
your name, please?
Janice. Yes.
Hi, Janice. Can you speak up, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. One second. I had you on.
That's all
sorry
right.
About that.
That's better.
Yeah, I think we all have digestive issues. And as far as burping, I mean, I could burp no matter what I eat, it seems, walking down the street and scare people away. And it, no, regardless, sometimes I think maybe it's the coffee I had today. I just had oatmeal. Maybe it was a little milk in it. I don't know. An Ayurvedic practitioner once told me that, of course, I should have data stuff, but I should give up the salads and have hot stuff, cooked stuff. And I wonder, when people talk about bitters, if that's what my body needs, then why don't I desire it? That's one of the things I hate. I hate arugula. I hate things that taste like that, and I do like the savories. So you talked about hydrochloric acid. How would one get that? And
okay. Well, Dr. Z, do you want to begin, and I'll follow?
Well, yeah, I think you know, bitters is an acquired taste, and there is some research that you can take it in a capsule, and it has some effect because you do have the bitter receptors all through your intestine. It's not as good an effect as tasting it, because then you get those cranial nerves involved and things like that. But, and remember, if you hate bitter, what about sour? Because it turns out that that's what I was going to be finishing my thought with my thesis, that I found out that the sour taste, like in Chinese medicine, they use the peel of the immature orange. That's what they call it, Chen Pi. Yeah, and tangerines too, exactly. And so if we don't have that, then we could take the zest of a lime, which has a bitter and sour nature, take the zest of the lime, grate it up, put it in, and then squeeze the juice, add hot water, and then sip that. That might be more to your taste. That's my suggestion.
Yeah. Well, every time I go out to eat, I have water with lemon all the time at a meal. And
lime. You
got to
do lime. Lime is bitter.
Okay,
lime has bitter and sour. Right. Lemon is just sour, so they have different energies, even though they're cousins.
Okay, that's interesting. I never liked lime. But also, I learned from all these shows years ago about chewing well, and I usually eat slowly. I can't stand to see people gobbling food, and I knew about combining. I don't really do that anymore, but I've been eating slowly, and I do take zinc usually daily, but I still have these burps, and then I do get bloated. I can't have anything tight on me.
Now, you might go on.
I was going to say, you know, some people have, because they've had low stomach acid for so long, their stomach has been colonized by microbes, because, you know, you got to remember what makes the gas. It's not the food that makes the gas. It's the microbes fermenting. So that you probably have some microorganismal overload, of which the bitters, back to the bitters, even in a capsule, can actually kill these microorganisms. I mean, they don't call it wormwood for nothing. The history, it turns out that wormwood really did kill worms, you know, back in the day, and will still kill worms.
Wormwood?
So, you know, you may have to go to a practitioner to get some advice, but I would recommend, you know, that they would use different things that have been shown to be antimicrobial and bitter at the same time. So very interesting. But I like the idea what the Ayurvedic people said is, you know, if you have to get, if you have a constitution where you have to get off so much raw food, then that's what you got to do.
There also is something else is that, you know, we are trained out of liking bitter. And what they found was when they gave bitters to someone for over 7 days, that they began to like it. It took them about 7 days to adjust their taste buds and bring alive again those bitter receptors, because right now they're sitting there with out being stimulated for years and years and years. And so bringing them back took about 7 days. And after that, people's whole taste buds changed. Their taste for foods changed. And they began to adjust and like different foods and even began to desire more bitter foods. And that might be something that you want to try.
7 days. So what's a good herb, bitter herb that
Well, there's groups. There's groups of bitters that each one stimulates different parts and different areas of receptors. So a very good formula, and also would be easy to take, would be something with dandelion, with artichoke, with burdock, with cardamom. But then in order to calm all that down, because that, you would put ginger, which is a warming herb, and you would also cinnamon. And you put ginger and cinnamon with the bitter herbs, and you might find that very palatable. So I want to thank you for your call, and
thank you.
I want to wish you a very happy holiday if we don't hear from you again. And thank you for calling. So what do you think about all this? This brought a lot of interest because it's so topical right now. As a matter of fact, last week, remember, we chose to talk about bitters. During this week, I've gotten 3 newsletters on bitters. So I think it's an important topic right now, particularly going into the holidays, because we want our digestion good. We really don't want to overeat on carbs and sugars, although we're going to have some. We all are. But we want to eat slowly. We also discussed, Dr. Z and I discussed calming herbs so that we can do 2 things. We can enjoy our meal and we don't have to get triggered by our older uncle who we don't actually agree with in terms of their political standings. What do you think of that, Dr. Z?
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about that Tuesday at 2:30, I believe. That's the subject, things to make you chilled.
Exactly.
So I think that's really important, yeah. But, I think back to finishing up our discussion about the digestive tract, a lot of times bitters are combined with these things called carminatives, and these are like the gas guzzlers of the herbal world. They work by actually killing off the microbes. That's one, and they're the spices of the herbal kingdom.
Now we have one more caller.
Oh, okay.
And we've just got a couple of minutes, so please, hello and welcome, and please speak and give us your question so we can answer it before our time is up.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm so sorry to impinge on your program.
Not at all.
Thank you for all of the education that you give. I'm calling concerning a different issue. I'm dealing with the passing of my wife, and I'm away. I had ordered and paid for a Gary Noel water filter on June the 9th. I have not received it yet.
You know what? I am very sorry, but we really can't answer that. Because, first of all, I'm not involved with Gary Noel's premiums, but you can make a call into the premium department, and I'm very sorry.
All right, Corinne. All right, let me. I'll just give the number on air. There's a number for this caller to call, and they could do it on Friday, during the hours between 3 to 7 p.m. And that number is 212-209-2870. That's 212-209-2870. Okay, and I hope that will help the caller, and continue with your program, please, Corinne.
Thank you, Reggie. Thanks for help. Okay, so what do we want to leave the audience with? We have a good 3 minutes. What would you like to leave the audience with?
Well, I think it's important to enjoy our food and enjoy our time with our family and friends. But, you know, this is also a time that people feel pretty lousy after they eat this fantastic meal. And you don't have to feel lousy if you eat with moderation, take your bitters and then your enzymes afterwards. And if you need carminatives, sure, you know, then you could certainly enjoy and not feel terrible the next day. That's the whole thing, is people, sometimes they feel so horrible that they want to go out shopping for Black Friday or whatever and start their holiday season, but they feel horrible. So this is a good way to not feel like that. And I wish everyone a great Thanksgiving.
So we're coming to the end of our show. We got 2 more minutes. I would like to say, don't underestimate your digestion. And it's with us at all times. And it's very often I see people who are reduced, and British people, older people who are reduced to drinking tea and toast. And that's the way they live, to avoid digestive problems. And that's not necessary. Try some bitters. Find some wonderful, and there are many digestive aids, which are enzymes. I've got one with hydrochloric acid and ox bile. We can't underestimate ox bile, how important it is, how important it is to digestion and our immune system. So think about all that. Have a wonderful, joyous holiday. Remember, we have so much to celebrate. We are blessed. And with that as our focus going into Thanksgiving, it's